You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. Coming up, we'll talk about the persistent gap in who turns out to vote and who doesn't, and what impact that has on our political system.
Now, Republicans in the state assembly announced a proposal that would cut taxes for middle-class residents and families today. They say it would fulfill one of the priorities of their party and a campaign promise from Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
But while there are plans from both Evers and Republicans to provide the cuts, there isn't an agreement on how they should be funded. Our next guest is here to talk about the politics behind tax cuts.
Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Jonah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
And thank you for having me.
Well, we have plans from the Democratic governor and Republican state lawmakers on this tax cut. Let's take a quick look at the GOP proposal. They're saying individuals who earn less than $100,000, families that earn less than $150,000 would be eligible for a cut, probably annual savings in the neighborhood of $200 or so. What kind of impact do tax cuts at this level have on the state?
Well, I think in this particular case, they're wise at targeting them to lower and middle income families. What the research suggests is that In fact, when you provide money to these types of families, they're going to be much more likely to spend it and inject that money back into the economy. I think by now it's been pretty well proven that trickle-down economics does not, in fact, work. And when you give money to higher-income earners, they're much more likely to just save that money, and that money doesn't end up stimulating the economy. So in this case, I do think these targeted tax cuts would make some impact on the economy.
Governor Evers targeting the same people with his tax cut proposals. The big difference seems to be in how the plans get paid for. Republicans, first of all, say they want to use the current estimated projected budget surplus to pay for these tax cuts. Is that something that's sustainable since we know, okay, maybe we have a surplus this budget cycle? Is it going to be here next budget cycle?
I think we really do need to see what the numbers will be from the nonpartisan budget office, from the legislator first. Those estimates were, you know, coming out of the Walker administration that we would have a budget surplus, but it's not entirely clear that that will be the case, particularly if what Evers proposes in his budget is has a chance of passing. I think what's also interesting here is that the way that Evers wants to fund this is to actually, you know, adjust this manufacturing and agricultural tax credit, which has disproportionately benefited high-income earners in the state. And as we've seen from the Trump tax cuts, in fact, tax cuts that are for high-income earners or corporations, what we find is there's far less support for that, and Trump's tax cuts are still now registering as more disapproval than approval.
Republicans have said that this tax cut that had passed under Governor Walker and Republican lawmakers that targets agriculture and manufacturers, they say, hey, this is part of why we have had a good job record in Wisconsin, part of why unemployment is low. Is there a case to be made that that's at least part of the story?
Again, I would suggest that, in fact, the research would show that these really don't drive business decisions the way that it's often touted in the political sphere. For instance, in this case, when we take a look at what those tax cuts have provided, there were, in fact, 11 individuals who made over $30 million each, who in the end shared between them $22 million in credits. And I know PolitiFact has looked into this as well and found that, in fact, you know, a factory owner who earns up to $2.5 million from production income, in fact, would owe less in state income tax on than someone who's a full-time worker earning minimum wage. So I think it's hard to say that these would drive business decisions when, in fact, these companies were already hiring people and making businesses before the tax credits were in place.
This seems to be likely to be one of the biggest political battles of the early stages of Governor Evers' term in office. And the framing is, seems to be shaping up. Governor Evers saying, I'm capping tax cuts for wealthy people in Wisconsin. Republicans saying he is raising taxes effectively on job providing agriculture and manufacturing. We've kind of been here before with Democrats versus Republicans, right?
Definitely. And in fact, both the narratives have some truth to them, right? I mean, by removing the credit, you are, in fact, raising taxes. But Evers' plan, of course, does take is a more redistributive policy where the money would be coming from higher income earners to pay for middle income tax cuts. So, yeah, I think there's some truth in both, and they're going to spin it different ways, obviously.
Talking to Jonah Ralston from UW-Whitewater, assistant professor of political science there, looking at plans from Governor Evers and from Republican lawmakers to cut middle-class taxes, but a big sticking point, how do you pay for those? So, Jonah, is it possible here that both sides say, yeah, we want to cut taxes on the middle class, but because of this difference over how to pay for them, a theoretical surplus or changes to this agriculture manufacturing tax credit, we don't end up with these tax cuts at all?
Well, I do think that's probably a concern here, because the way that the Republican plan was unveiled, Tony Evers was not even informed of the plan that they were going to propose an alternative. Typically, what you'd want to do is notify the governor's office and then, you know, try to work towards a compromise solution. By proposing an alternative, you do wonder if maybe they're digging their feet in the sand a bit here, and the Republicans are saying, well, it's going to be this for the middle-income tax cut, or it will be, you know, nothing at all.
Is this a place where you see halfway points, or there could be some negotiation, a little bit out of this theoretical surplus, a little bit out of this tax credit?
And that does seem to be the compromise solution here. It would, in fact, be to allow some changes in that manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, and then also to provide some of that funding from, if there's a surplus, from the surplus. Of course, you know, if you look to the federal level right now, we are in fact in the longest government shutdown in history, and that certainly doesn't provide any good signs as to them coming to a compromise.
Big picture, how much does state policy on things like taxes, whether for business or middle class taxpayers or whoever, affect the state's economy versus where the state is in the midst of, you know, wider national and international economic trends?
I think that's a great question, one that's often overlooked. And I think if both parties were really concerned about job growth and other issues in the state, one thing to look at would in fact be infrastructure, which they are both interested in, and also to look at education, which again there's been interest from both. So there are some areas where they could work together to drive increase in job growth. Again, taxes is really not going to be your most effective in regard to economic development. Governor Evers has proposed looking at small business creation, and I'm sure there will be interest in that regard from the Republicans as well. So there are some areas that really do seem to help grow jobs in the state's economy, and those are areas that do seem like they're potentially capable of compromising on.
When it comes to state infrastructure spending, do you see low-hanging fruit out there? If we put a little bit of money into these things now, it seems historically to have a really good track record?
Well, I do think as far as infrastructure goes, it does seem like a simple one to work on right away would be, of course, some of the road funding and figuring out a way to increase revenue for the state. I do see a potential compromise here in regard to the gas tax. That was at one time indexed to inflation, and so politicians really didn't have to worry about it because it moved on its own as inflation rose. But, you know, that was removed under, you know, Governor Doyle's administration. And so now that capping is no longer there, it's remained flat for a number of years. So I do think that there would be an easy solution there. And Voss has already signaled interest in that. And I'm sure Evers would also be willing to do that.
How much does politics get in the way of a good policy solution? Everybody looking over their shoulder to the next election, not wanting to have their base turn against them for making a concession, just in our last 30 seconds or so.
I do think that in the current political environment, it's become much more difficult to compromise. And I think a lot of that does trace back to the fact that there is a real growing amount of polarization in the country, and it makes it so much more difficult for folks to give a little bit of this or a little bit of that when it's all or nothing. And so I do think that's made it very challenging for legislators these days and governors.
Jonah, thanks a lot for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks again for having me.
Jonah Ralston is an assistant professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He joins today to talk about dueling tax cut proposals in Wisconsin. You can share your thoughts. Tweet us at Central Time WPR. How do you want this all to end up working out?